Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We'll continue where we left off yesterday. Canto 9, Chapter 10. And we'll start with text 8. We'll just read for a bit. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramachandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life and went to the forest with Sita. Purport. Maharaj, Dasarath had three wives. One of them, Kaikeyi, served him very pleasingly, and he therefore wanted to give her a benediction. Kaikeyi, however, said that she would ask for the benediction when it was necessary. At the time of the coronation of Prince Ramachandra, he requested Bharata and send Ramachandra to the forest. Maharaj Dasarath, being bound by his promise, ordered Ramachandra to go to the forest according to the dictation of his beloved. And the Lord, as an obedient son, accepted the order immediately. He left everything without hesitation, just as a liberated soul or a great yogi gives up his life without material attraction. Text 9. While wandering in the forest, where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramachandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends, headed by Kara, Trishira, and Dushana. Text 10. Oh, King Parikshit, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires, and he went to kidnap her to distract Lord Ramachandra from his ashram. Ravana sent Maricha in the form of a golden deer, and when Lord Ramachandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. Text 11. When Ramachandra entered the forest and Lakshmana was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of the king of Videha, just as a tiger seizes an unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Then Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshmana, as if very much distressed due to separation from his wife. Thus he showed, by his personal example, the condition of a person attached to women. Purport. In this verse, the word Sri Sanginam Gatim Iti indicate that the condition of a person attached to women was shown by the Lord Himself. According to moral instructions, Grihe Narim Vivarjayet, when one goes on a tour, one should not bring his wife. Formerly, men used to travel without conveyances, but still, as far as possible, when one leaves home, one should not take his wife with him, especially if one is in such a condition as Lord Ramachandra, when banished by the order of his father. Whether in the forest or at home, if one is attached to women, this attachment is always troublesome, as shown by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his personal example. paragraph. Of course, this is the material side of Sri Sanghi, but the situation of Lord Ramachandra is spiritual, for he does not belong to the material world. Narayana paro vyaktat, meaning Narayana is beyond the material creation. Because he is the creator of the material world, he is not subject to the conditions of the material world. The separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita is spiritually understood as Vipralambha, which is an activity of the Ladini potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, belonging to the Shringara Rasa, mellow of conjugal love in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the dealings of love, displaying the symptoms called Satvika, Sanchari, Vilapa, Murcha, and Unmada. Thus, when Lord Ramachandra was separated from Sita, all these spiritual symptoms were manifested. The Lord is neither impersonal nor impotent. Rather, he is Satchit Ananda Vigraha, the eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Thus, he has all the symptoms of spiritual bliss. Feeling separation from one's beloved is also an item of spiritual bliss. Feeling separation from one's beloved is also, as explained by Srila Swarup Damodara Goswami, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shakti. The dealings of love between Radha and Krishna are displayed as the pleasure potency of the Lord. The Lord is the original source of all pleasure, the reservoir of all pleasure. Lord Ramachandra, therefore, manifested the truth, both spiritually and materially. Materially, those who are attached to women suffer. But spiritually, when there are feelings of separation between the Lord and his pleasure potency, the spiritual bliss of the Lord increases. This is further explained in Bhagavad Gita 9:11. Abhajananti mamudha manushim tanamashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Does not know the spiritual potency of the Supreme Personality God, who thinks of the Lord as an ordinary human being. But the Lord's mind, intelligence, and senses can never be affected by material conditions. This fact is further explained in the Skanda Purana as quoted by Madhvacharya, long Sanskrit text. It was actually impossible for Ravana to take away Sita. The form of Sita taken by Ravana was an illusory representation of Mother Sita, Maya Sita. When Sita was tested in fire, this Maya Sita was burnt, but the real Sita came out of the fire. Final paragraph. A further understanding to be derived from this example is that a woman, however powerful she may be in the material world, must be given protection. For as soon as she is unprotected, she will be exploited by rakshasas like Ravana. Hear the word, Vaideha Raja Duhittari, indicate that before Mother Sita was married to Lord Ramachandra, she was protected by her father, Vaideha Raja. And when she was married, she was protected by her husband. Therefore, the conclusion is that a woman should always be protected. According to the Vedic rule, there is no scope for a woman's being independent. Asamaksham, for a woman cannot protect herself independently. So just focus on the, because it's 2.5-page purport, Prabhupada takes the topic seriously. A big part of the attraction of the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra is the human-like nature of his pastimes. He appears to be a king, a man. And people like a hero. And so he's a hero. So it's common, it's natural to think of Lord Ramachandra as one of us, but he's not one of us. But part of the attractiveness is he looks like one of us, he's just like a very special one of us. And so the exchanges of the relationships between Lord Ramachandra and his different devotees looks, in one sense, human-like. And therefore there's, on the human-like side, or the material side, there's lessons or instructions. So many lessons or instructions. His building the bond of friendship with Sugriva, and so many. And because they both had the same problem, and the same problem was that their wife had been taken by some powerful other person, and so they made a bond of assisting one another, like a worldly person might do. Now, Ramchandra doesn't need anybody's help. It's a worldly act, but it's a leela. It's a great personality. Sugriva is given this opportunity to directly associate with the personality of Godhead, and then go through seemingly fallible behavior, his indulgence during the rainy season, and just forgetful of the promise that he made to Ram. So many things that are apparently worldly. So many things. And so many lessons that are instructive for us in this world. And as point is being made in the purport, there's the spiritual perspective. One should never forget, one should always remember that the appearance of Krishna, the appearance of Ram, is not ordinary. Just like the appearance of Ram was with the help of a brahmana, Rishi Sringa, and a yajna performed, etc., 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 etc. So, seemingly depending upon material circumstances. But his appearance is fully transcendental. He chose to appear that way to give these different devotees of his an opportunity to serve him in a particular way. And we remember, as times are fully transcendental. Now, those that are not Vaishnavas they're not clued in. They cannot see that way. They do not see that way. They see something else. They see moral instruction, and they don't see transcendental pastime, because they don't have that association, or nor that inclination that come from association to see the transcendental nature. And therefore, over and over and over and over and over and over and over, there is instruction coming in Krishna book in particular. Krishna book in particular, I'm mentioning that because 10th canto is something that's not for neophytes. 10th canto is very advanced. Yet Prabhupada presented Krishna book summary of 10th canto so that ordinary people, not knowing whether he would be able to complete the 10th canto, ordinary people, even children, or non-devotee people, can get a sense of the transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes, and therefore, over and over and over, it's repeated that Krishna's position is transcendental. These are pastimes. And they're eternal pastimes that he exhibits in the world. And they're also very attractive. And then there's the otherworldly, Krishna's exhibition of power, his Aishwarya feature, lifting of Govardhan Hill and so on. Ramchandra's exhibition of power, because it's like a little appreciation. When Sugriva, he wasn't a pure devotee. He had his doubts. So Ram had to show his power with his arrows passing through the salt trees and going down to the lower regions and coming back into the position of his bow. But Hanuman didn't require that. Hanuman immediately upon seeing Lord Ramachandra, he knew he's the personality of Godhead. So the disguise was dropped and he revealed his identity as Hanuman and the messenger of Sugriva, and let's go meet Sugriva. So the quality of pure devotion entitles one to see Krishna as he is, or see Ramachandra as he is. And the quality of mixed devotion, one needs reminders, or one needs exhibitions of Aishwarya. So in Ram's pastimes, there's a mix. In Krishna's pastimes, those who are the demons, both in Vrindavan and in Mathura and in Dwarka, the worldly people can't see Krishna as he is. The worldly people can't see Lord Ramachandra as he is. But we should always remember, these are pastimes. And so there's both the spiritual and the material side to the exhibition of what he's doing. There's three main themes directly stated by Shukadeva Goswami, that Ramchandra wanted to show the world that if that's just attached. Yeah, attached. Thus, he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to women. One will have difficulty, or one will suffer. And not only taking Sita into the forest, as the purport is describing, when one goes on a journey, especially something like this, one should not bring one's wife, but he did. He did based upon the plea of Sita that she wouldn't be able to maintain her life, etc., etc. And he yielded. So he yielded for a purpose to teach the world that when one does act out of attachment, it's not to say he was materially attached, but he wanted to show. If one acts out of attachment, or that the condition at home or out of the home, if one is attached, one will have difficulty. And then going for the deer, because Sita wanted the deer. We're near the conclusion of our exile, and wouldn't it be nice to have this golden deer in our garden and in the park? And Ram's reasoning was, well, even if it is a demon, then I'll slay him. If it's some Rakshasa doing some mystical trick, I don't have a problem, I'll slay him. And if not, but he's omniscient. So he knows, but he goes anyways. So he's showing, by his personal example, the condition of a person attached to women. And then there's the other side. The other side is, dramatically, twice, arrangements for increasing the feelings of intense separation. Krishna also, intense separation from the residents of Vrindavan. Intense separation. Not only they felt, but he felt. And so Sita felt and Ram felt. Intense separation. Aside from, you know, the horrible situation of being with Ravana. Threatening, intimidating. And the man's a monster. So, great misfortune. But feelings of separation. And in intense situation of feelings of separation. And similarly, when she was sent to the ashram of Valmiki, intense separation for both of them. But the pastime of intensification of love. And the worldly part, the worldly part of being sent to his ashram was a king, the ideal king, shows what's more important, the tranquility and equanimity of the citizens or his own personal interest. So he was showing that also. A highly qualified leader considers the overall well-being of the citizens above all else. And then the argument goes back and forth. Yeah, but she already showed her purity. So let people that want to talk, they're going to talk anyway. They'll talk, you know, why did he send her to Valmiki's ashram? She was pregnant, and so just sent her away. That wasn't right. He wanted to show. And so, and experience Vipralamba, transcendental love and separation. Then comes all of this higher teaching about rasa. Prabhupada writes in the purport, in the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality Godhead has all the dealings of love, displaying the symptoms called Satvika, Sanchari, Vilapa, etc. Thus, when Lord Ramachandra was separated from Sita, all these spiritual symptoms were manifested. Now, when all those spiritual symptoms were manifested, on the other hand, it looked like he was, you know, overly attached householder. mad. Not just sad, mad. Delirious. And Lakshmana trying to console him in different ways. Be a hero. Don't lose courage. Continue, persevere, come on, Ram. But it was the exhibition of transcendental feelings of the Supreme Personality Godhead, which ordinary people can't understand. They see the other side. Either, oh, how wonderful he was so attached to Sita, or how terrible, he's just like he's like one of us. Too much attached. That's his problem. And reference is made in the purport to Skanda Purana's explanation. The form of Sita taken by Ravana was an illusory representation of Mother Sita, Maya Sita. Now that's Skanda Purana, and without going into it, because I can't remember all the different references, there's different versions of Ramayana, as was discussed yesterday. And in those different versions, there's different explanations of who that Maya Sita was. There isn't an explanation in Valmiki Ramayana about a Maya Sita. There isn't a reference to that. It's in the other versions. Here's one from Skanda Purana. So it's not Ramayana, but it's a description of Ram's pastimes from Skanda Purana, which Madhvacharya quotes, so that tells us, like the discussion yesterday, which references, well, when our great acharyas gesture or point to a certain reference, then we can take that as authoritative. Although it may defile me. So, Maya Sita. And Maya Sita, what it says, Prabhupada says here, when Sita was tested in the fire, this Maya Sita was burnt. Well, that's different. Because Agni accepted this replacement Sita and cared for her as he was giving protection to the original Sita. So there's different presentations. And again, on the theme of what was discussed yesterday, there may be contradictory presentations, even from the authorized ones, and like the discussion was, there's different millennium, different yuga cycles where Ramchandra is performing his pastimes. And our acharyas really get into it on which yuga cycle was this one and which yuga cycle was that one. How do we know these things? We can only know through our acharyas. So that's our fidelity, is to our acharyas. But Prabhupada is ISKCON's founder acharya giving us this explanation. Not possible for Ravana to even touch the internal potency of the Personality of Godhead. Not possible. So whether it's spoken of in Valmiki Ramayana or not spoken of in Valmiki Ramayana, not possible. Not possible. So again, it's a pastime. And the details of, in the different iterations of Ram's pastimes, how this takes place, and whether in this case Maya Sita gets burned, and the real Sita comes out, or Maya Sita goes back with Agni, and the real Sita comes out. Different versions. Vedavati and her position from the early portions of Valmiki Ramayana, where she took her life, but before she did, because Ravana was planning to molest her. You know, in my next life, I will be the cause of your death. So, that's Vedavati. That's one who Ram kidnapped. Anyway, different details in the different Ramayanas. That's okay. But again, Prabhupada wants us to, at least taking this one reference from Madhvacharya, not possible for Ravana to touch the internal potency of the personality of Godhead. And then the final paragraph, a further understanding to be derived from this example is that a woman, however powerful she may be in the material world, must be given protection. For unprotected woman can be taken advantage of. Now, how that might happen is not necessarily how Ravana was interested to exploit Sita in his particular manner, but protection in a general sense. Now, saying all this, which is really strong and Vedic, in his own way, as an acharya, he made exceptions. One woman whose husband died wanted to know what she should do, and should she remarry? Her husband is gone. Prabhupada's instruction to her was, make Krishna your husband. So that's an interesting solution to a woman needs the protection of a husband. Make Krishna your husband. Without naming names, there are very highly qualified ISKCON women that are not married or have never been married, and they're doing just fine. It's from my visits to China, it's quite common. I don't know if you've noticed or if you've been in gatherings amongst the Chinese devotees. It's 80 to 90% ladies. They're just like our Ayodhya Yatra, one of the comments from the Chinese devotees that were, except for one, they were all ladies, was they really, it was nice to see, in their words, so many Prabhus that were doing all the service, because in China it's so many ladies doing all the service, because there aren't Prabhus. It's only ladies, or primarily ladies. Now, does that mean they can't be Krishna conscious? Because, and lots of them are not married. Because that's just the way the situation is. And then, many of them are married to men that aren't devotees. You know, what's that like? Not easy. So how to maintain, just the broad question is how to maintain Vedic and specific ashram principles, varna ashram principles, in Kali Yuga, and then details of circumstances. So, there's Vedic Varnashram standards, and then there's the world that we live in today, and how do you adjust all that? Not easy. But Prabhupada is pointing out the last paragraph in the purport here. Sita was to be protected. The protection that was arranged at the final stage was Sita was sent to the ashram of Valmiki. Of course, then she entered back into the earth from which she had come. But she was protected, not unprotected. So we'll see if there's some discussion.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this purport is difficult to really take it in as you're explaining. Thank you so much for detailed description, how we have to understand. One particular thing which is really bothering, Mother Sita, it describes and gives it the Vedic requirements for a woman to always accompany and be with her husband. Mm. And she is actually following the Vedic code of conduct to go with her husband. While in this purport we understand man should not take his wife along with him while going out.
Well, particularly, it's not like leaving the home, it's forbidden that the husband goes with his wife. Particularly in a circumstance like this, he's off in the forest, it's very dangerous, anything could happen, and so many things, but you know, but he's powerful and he can protect, and they're in a forest. Wild animals, rakshasas, they're crazy. Dangerous. That's one of his arguments. It's not just hardship, just very dangerous. So, both are there. Sita's arguments and this one. And we'll find these things in life, in scripture and in life. Then on the one hand, then the other hand. You know, should you do this or should you do that? Because this says you should do this and not do that. And then this one says you should not do that but do this. But they exist. You're giving one, and there's others for sure. So was you take it, was Sita wrong? Was Ram wrong? It's just aside from the transcendental Leela of exchange, just in terms of worldly duty, was Ram wrong? Sita wrong? And that, so one answer is there's different moods. Just like Lakshmana's wife, she had a particular mood. And she could have said the same thing that Sita said. But she had a different mood. Her mood was that of just being of service to her husband, and she would get in the way of her husband's service if she was present, because he'd have to look after her if she's off in the forest. And so, to serve her husband. And Sita could have taken, you know, similar position. This is a vow that you've taken, and if I'm with you, you could create hardship and difficulty for you, and so I'll just serve in separation. But there's a different mood. So there's not always one answer for a particular situation. There's particulars in a particular situation in terms of duty.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Lord Ram, when he received the instruction from Dasharatha to go to the forest, he did not express anything, and he completely abided by that instruction without having to express any of his views. So how do we take this example or this particular incident and what are some of the practical applications for this in the guru-disciple relationship or the superior when receiving instructions from the superior?
We're not, on both sides, we're not Ram. So we cannot be expected to be superhuman. On the other hand, the application is, don't deviate from, in Ram's case, deviate from truth. That the truth that he was upholding was not just his word, eventually it was his word, but even before that it was his father's word. And so abiding by truth is a principle that we can apply, and that may mean some inconvenience, but we abide by truth. Again, because he's the son, he's upholding the words spoken by his father. And as the son of the father, or the servant or the disciple of the spiritual master, the words of the spiritual master, as the words of the father, are the guiding light of the disciple, or the guiding light of the son to the father, whatever that may mean. So, our founder Acharya has given some outstanding mandates. It's not humanly possible to fulfill all the instructions that Prabhupada gave, but there's some that are particularly prominent, and it's the life of the disciple and the grand disciple and so forth to uphold those instructions. It more than helps, it's essential to understand intention behind instruction. Now, the intention of Dasarath was, he actually didn't want Ram to go. But Ram was going by the literal indication, not the intention. That's a qualification of Ram. But the application for us is, we should try to understand the intention of our founder Acharya and the intention of our spiritual master when we receive instructions and abide by them. Mold our life in such a way that we can fulfill that instruction. Like Prabhupada received an instruction from Bhaktisiddhanta, it took me years. But the instruction was in his heart, and gradually it evolved where the means for fulfilling instruction became possible. And he did it. That was the force of his life, the instruction. That's the application.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, like, as a Vaishnava, we do see the conjugate love in separation when Mother Sita was kidnapped.
Mm.
Was the intention of that pastime of looking most of the Ramayana is mostly to reestablish moral principle, right? Or is there any devotional message behind the pastime?
Behind which pastime?
So, whole Ramayana, I'm talking about the whole picture about...
Well, there's both. It's not... Both. And the pastimes can be appreciated in different ways depending upon, you know, the content. And some can appreciate this, and some can appreciate that, or some can appreciate both. not sure. You want to ask your question in a different way? Because I'm not sure I've answered it.
Just that, you know, throughout the, what I've been, you know, since childhood, most of the Ramayana was used to reestablish like moral principles.
Yes. That's commonly how it's seen. Because people are worldly. And they can perceive moral instruction within a pastime. Then there are persons that are more rasika oriented. And they'll see those. Or some can see both. And followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our followers of Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami was highly instructive in terms of rasa. So the line of Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami, etc., is very strongly rasa related. And a number of our acharyas, they speak on that principle regularly or consistently. And our acharyas, to my knowledge, have not so much extensively commented on Ram's pastimes. Some. And so the commentary that we have on Ram's pastimes is more on the moral and less on the, you know, the insight and the spiritual nature of Ram and the each of the exchanges. However, it's there. It's just one example. Maybe two examples. One example is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami teaches the principle of primary and secondary rasa. And he explains, and Jiva Goswami comments, that this pastime that gives moral instruction of upholding the word of his father resulted in, you know, a corollary secondary rasa. The secondary rasa was sorrow. And here's one, you know, the primary, the mood of separation, viparalumba. So over in Nectar, excuse me, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu commented on by Prabhupada Nectar Devotion. This mood of sorrow was an ecstasy. It's a secondary rasa ecstasy. And that secondary rasa of sorrow, Ram is the presiding deity. Each of the seven have presiding deities. Ram is the presiding deity of that one. And so, according to the mood of love, of different, his father and mother, and the other mothers, and his brothers, and the wives of his brothers, and the servants, and Guha, and Sumantra. So, they each had a different experience of that. And then, you know, and then the sages that they met along the way, each had a different appreciation of the same thing, the secondary rasa. But the secondary rasa then spikes and then it seems to cover the primary rasa. And that's where everything, all attention goes to, is that secondary rasa. But that it enhances and heightens and gives variety to the primary rasa. That's in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. a comment on Ramayana and, you know, the spiritual dimension of the pastime, as opposed to just the moral instruction.
I was thinking about what you said last night, that the Rameshwar is not in Valmiki Ramayana. The Lord Rama worshipping Lord Shiva.
Yes.
And that is not in Valmiki Ramayana.
That's correct.
Then how do we reconcile with that one?
You what?
How do we reconcile with that one? There is Rameshwar right there. I mean, the pilgrimage spot and everything.
How do you reconcile is your question?
With that one. Yeah.
Well, there's two ways. One way, take the microphone. One way, as was suggested yesterday evening, there can be different yoga cycles in which Ram appears and does this. Another yoga cycle, Ram appears and does that. That's one way of reconciling. Another is emphasis. If Valmiki Ramayana may not have said everything. That's possible. And so some other versions say, just like for example, our acharyas make reference to pastimes in Padmapurana of Krishna that are not mentioned in Bhagavad Purana, or pastimes of Lord Srinadev and Prahlad that are mentioned in the Sattvic Puranas that are not mentioned in Bhagavad Purana. Or here, Madhvacharya is making reference to Skanda Purana that's not in Valmiki Ramayana. It's not in Valmiki Ramayana. The Maya Sita is not in Valmiki Ramayana. It's elsewhere, just like we know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Vayu Purana, it's mentioned. So when Ram's visiting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is visiting, and the Brahmana is going to fast until death because Sita is in danger, and Mahaprabhu says, no, it's not possible, Sita can't be touched. He goes, finds in a later journey a copy that says Sita was not touched, it was a Maya Sita. He brings the volume back. So, it's elsewhere. That's not in Valmiki Ramayana. That's how we can reconcile it. Those two possibilities. So how do we know what to honor is another question. That's what we talked about last night. But you're asking, how do you reconcile?
Study of Ramayana in itself is not complete for understanding.
No, so doesn't mean that.
I mean,
it's authentic.
Like an ordinary person don't know to look in Skanda Purana for you know, the details.
Don't get confused. Let's get you unconfused.
Then one more thing may I ask?
Well, let me say. In the narration in Srimad Bhagavatam, now, aside from Valmiki Ramayana, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a statement by Jiva Goswami that Shukadeva Goswami is combining two different varahas, the Zarakta and Shweta Varaha. It's stated in the purport. Jiva Goswami says that there's two, and Shukadeva Goswami doesn't differentiate between the two. He combines the two into one narration. So there's elements of the two Varaha appearances in one narration. So no, does that mean it's incomplete? There's not 8 million verses, there's 18,000. So, you know, he's not saying everything. And so it's not that, not to say that Valmiki just, there's two possibilities, maybe more than two. Maybe Valmiki didn't share everything, impossibility, but it doesn't mean it's incomplete. It's just, you know, it's the truth of the matter has been presented, and we can be confident that everything that's in Valmiki Ramayana is authentic. And another possibility is, he didn't mention it because it didn't happen during the particular pastime of Ram that he knew. And then in another yuga cycle, it did happen, and so it's another narrations of Ram's pastimes without differentiating it's another yuga cycle. That's fine. Okay?
Thank you, Mata.
I think we're going to... you have something further.
Yeah, I have
because as soon as you're done, we're going to end. Go ahead. Yes, okay. Yes, please.
That is about in the spiritual world.
In the spiritual world.
Yes. I mean, this different rasas of separation between Ram and Sita mentioned here. I mean, in the spiritual world, we like to think that Ram and Sita are always together.
They're always together. There's no demons in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
No Ravana comes and takes Sita.
Yeah. So how will they, these rasas are from the spiritual world.
Here's how it works. We're going to end. Here's how it works. Take the microphone. There are no demons, but there's, according to Jiva Goswami, there's this bhava that there's danger, as if there's a demon. So, here there's demons. And in the spiritual world, there's the bhava as if. You know who Vishvaksena is? Vishvaksena? He's the commander-in-chief of Krishna. Krishna's army in the spiritual world. You don't need an army in the spiritual world, but there's a service. So, danger, Vishvaksena, come to the rescue. So there's a mood of love. And all variety is there in the spiritual world. And here there's the pastimes are just like Jiva Goswami explains this in Bhakti in Brahma Samhita. In the spiritual world, there's no birth pastime, but there's the sense in Mother Jasoda, who is the eternal associate of Krishna, that she's his mother. You get it? Okay. Srila Prabhupada.